March 30, 2020, it's the Watch from Pedro show.
Thank you. damn fly I told you about is keeping me up again. I'm tired as shit every day at my job because it's buzzing keeps me from dreaming, and I can never get any rest. I can never get any rest. I can never get any rest. Sure, I'll have another drink with you, but I'm already drunk as a bottle. It's that fly that's making me drink, so I'll pass out and sleep through his screaming. I can never get any rest. I can never get any rest. I will never get any rest. Back in that room that's not mine anymore, it's possessed by the drone of a monster. Goddamn fly I told you about, the moon shines on his wings and they're gleaming. And I can never get any rest.
Monday, people. SoCal here. We're in hunker down mode. So Brother Matt's at the Love Grotto, Pleasure Point, maybe 3 miles from my pad here, Pedro. But I'm not totally man alone because of the incredible wonders of those software people in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got with me from Austin, Texas, Thor Harris.
Howdy, y'all. Howdy.
Yeah. Thanks for coming aboard. We started the show off with John Coltrane doing The Night Has a Thousand Eyes, and then you, Thor Harris, Fly on the Wall. Thor, can you tell me your earliest musical recollection?
Yes, I actually super remember it. My dad had built this beautiful stereo cabinet thing, and it was probably 1969 or something, and
where at?
In La Porte, Texas, which is right down at the tip of Galveston Bay.
Thor, this is trippy, but I have comped here like 20 times. We knew some people when we would play Houston gigs. We'd drive after the gig through. Now this ain't the California Pasadena, but this is the Texas Pasadena with about 150 refineries.
Yeah, it sports the most polluted Superfund site in the country.
And then when you get to the Gulf to La Porte, if you're at the wrong time of year, man, I mean, just running from the boat to the hatch and the pad was like clouds of mosquitoes.
Yeah, it's pretty swampy down there and real polluted. That's where I grew up, and my sister had Jackson 5 records, and she started playing them for me. She must have been in her early teens. I was probably 5 or 6, and I just couldn't believe what I was hearing.
I think James Jamerson was on a lot of that, on bass.
Yeah.
Yeah, great band, and great dancing, great singing.
Okay,
the pad you grew up in, La Porte there, were there instruments? Was your parents players or your sister?
They weren't. My sister played a little bit, but there was a piano. That was the first instrument that I started to play around with. And so I played around on piano until I was about 9, and then I started drum lessons when I was 9.
Did you have piano lessons?
Yeah, I was really bored with them. Now,
yeah, I was going to ask you the experience, because people on the show, it could be everything from really good to really low. I think it depends a lot on the teacher.
Yeah, I don't remember who my teacher was, but then when I started taking drum lessons, I was just riveted. I was 9 years old, which is, you know, That's kind of way older than a 5 or 6 year old, and I got just really hooked quickly. I was studying in bands. You know what? I know a friend of yours, Larry Mullins, and we're both we're both like, you know, classically trained percussion geeks, but I think he was a good student and I was a bad student. So,
well, you know what he told me was about that experience. He said at the end of the day, the music professor said, I want you to be a teacher. And he didn't want, you know, he didn't want to learn music to teach. He said he wanted to learn it to play.
So yeah. And boy, he does. He plays a lot.
He's stuck in Vienna right now.
Oh, he is?
He's trying to get back to Berlin, but they've closed the borders. You know the situation and everything. Yeah, he was doing some kind of play and stuff. He's got so much work going. Yeah. You know, he helped Michael with the last Swan album. And then Nick, he's got like a 2-year tour coming up with Nick Cave. But all that's been postponed kind of. And so, we recorded some Stooges here. So, okay, back to, what did you pick drums? You were getting tired of piano.
I did pick drums. I always wanted to play drums. I don't know why, you know, who ever knows.
In school, you were in the choir or the band or marching
band? Yeah, the band. The band and then the marching band, yeah.
Okay. So you had music, it wasn't 6 years old, but 9 years old. That's still a good young age. What about the stuff, let me ask you this. What was the first record you bought for yourself?
I think I bought Some Girls, the Rolling Stones
record. Yeah, I like
record.
That album, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good one, and I bought some Beatles 45s when I was real young. I remember walking to a record store in Lubbock where my mean old aunt lived and buying a Beatles 45 to that song, Something in the Way She Moves.
Yeah, yeah.
And
okay, what about the first gig you went to?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, after the Jackson 5, it was probably quite... Oh, did I mention I saw the Jackson 5?
No, you were just talking about your sister playing the records.
Yeah, so I was so obsessed. My parents took me to see them, and I think I was maybe 6 or 7. And there's this big arena down there called the Astrodome.
Yeah, get this. There's another LaPorte connection. That pad that we stayed at, this cat's pop built that thing.
Oh my god!
it was like their summer house, you know, their vacation house. Had a little pier going out into the Gulf and shit.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of beautiful down there. Like huge seabirds and tropical plants. It was kind of a beautiful, amazing place to grow up.
A little humid though.
Really humid and so hot.
That's what the idea of a summer house. I'm just thinking, oh my god.
Yeah, it's okay, really.
Okay, so how was this gig, Thor?
It blew my mind. Their drummer was in a plexiglass booth, and I didn't understand that. Like it was, so they were in the round, and I guess they were all. The stage wasn't spinning, but we'll get to spinning stages because that does happen in a couple of years.
Okay.
But at this show, the stage was round, but I don't think it was spinning. And I remember they rode around the edge of the Astrodome in a Cadillac first, like on the inside, so that they could get close to all the audience.
Whoa.
But
what about the thing after school with the basement or bedroom or garage band? Did you do that stuff with friends?
Yeah. By that, so then I sort of got into prog rock. I got really into Yes.
Alan White, Bill B.
Yes, and especially Bill.
Oh, they did spin around one tour.
Yeah, that's right. So then, when I was like 12 or 13, I saw Yes, and they did spin around indeed. And that was Alan White on drums.
Okay.
And that completely blew my mind with Rick Wakeman.
Well, you know, actually, I found out it was the bass player, his band.
Yeah, it was Chris Squire's band.
Chris Squire.
Yeah. You know, Chris Squire used to go into this music store that I'm sure you've been in. It's called Main Drag. It's in Brooklyn.
No.
You haven't been in it? Well, okay, it's in Brooklyn, just at the edge of Williamsburg, and I guess Chris Squire went in there sometimes, and he met Norman from the Swans a few times.
Well, I got to be on a project with Norman. We traded files over the internet, but
oh, nice! You know, yeah, Norman, he's the best.
I think Chris Squire will live for a time in SoCal.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think he. Yeah.
But, man, he's big in the mix. And then when I found that out, because I guess the other guys tried to tour under the name, and he owned the name.
Yeah. And remember he always had that Rickenbacker sound that was wonky? That was so nice.
There's that song Roundabout where it's gigantic.
Yeah. Hey, you know where I saw you play one year at the Off Festival with Iggy?
Oh, Stooges.
Yeah, Stooges. It was so good. And I think it was Larry on drums.
Yeah, the last 2 years, because Scotty Sun got sick, you know.
Yeah.
And March 15th, we lost him. Now it's five years ago. Yeah, I think of the Ashton Brothers all the time.
Yeah, I bet you do.
And Brother Steve.
Yeah.
Igg was really kind. He played a bunch of Minutemen. You know, he's got a show on the BBC.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, on Friday nights, and he played a bunch of Minutemen last Friday. So, or week
awesome. Before.
Yeah, he's always been very kind to me.
Oh, man. Minutemen are so important to all of us.
The Houston gig we first time played was put on by a guy who owned a record store. He called himself Chuck Rose, Chuck State. Because after that, Tom Bunch did our gigs for many, many years.
Oh, yeah, Tom Bunch. Yeah.
But the first time, I guess he helped this guy. And it was in town. It was outside in one of these industrial parks. You know, Houston was a trip, and then... Of course, he ended up with the Vatican and stuff like this. But I want to play Lois Monkey Rider.
Oh, good. You know what? I got stuff to say about that.
I don't mean to interrupt you. I see you've had a few. I just wanna understand you before I go to war with you. Like why you get so scared of the fragile we can win. We're a nation in reverse, trapped inside your heart. We're all fucking morons. Don't you know it's true? We're all fucking morons. My fingers pointing straight at you. To all the fucking children, you can take a job with you. And all the shorts have come. There's a few stones on the road. And everywhere the cloud is. Don't reject the calling. When the standards of disaster, liberal expectations, love that in Canaan. And we're all fucking morons. Don't you know it's true? We're all fucking morons. My fingers pointing straight at you. By king, by the joyless and the nasty, by the privileged and the greedy, the brown inherit nothing, set the air between us free. Take the place to go and fuck up, let us do the cheating, and we're all fucking morons. Don't get lazy in your hide. And we're all fucking morons. It's sunny as terrorize. And we're all fucking morons. My fingers say that you.
me. When that old reaper comes for me, I hope that I have done all the things I've begun. When that old reaper comes for me.
Different, you can tell. can I find? Where can I find? You can tell by looking at fun.
You can tell
by looking at thumbs.
You can tell
we're different
by looking at
you can tell
thumbs
by looking at
we're different
thumbs. We're different.
You can tell
and you can tell
by looking at
thumbs.
Thumbs. We're different.
We're different.
You can tell
and you can tell
thumbs. We're different.
You can tell
thumbs. For Pedro show, Thor Harris, Lois Monkey Rider, and Thor's got something to say about that, people.
Hey, so you know what I was kind of trying to do there, and I know that Mike Watt will know about this groove. You know, if somebody says, like, what's the coolest groove? It's Lowrider by War.
Oh,
right?
yeah, great one.
I was sort of trying to, without a drum set, I was trying to make a groove as, I mean, like if I try for the rest of my life to make a groove that cool, I never would, but, you know.
It's a good groove. Do you know Harry Nilsson?
Yes.
And Herbie Flowers, bassman?
Yeah.
There's a song called Jump Into the Fire. And I think the drummer man is Jim Gordon, the guy who's in the mental hospital for killing his mom with a hammer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's the Ricky Don't Lose That Number guy, too.
Oh, really? Wow.
What's the end part of Layla, that piano thing? He composed that. Yeah. So all the what I heard, the royalties go to all the inmates. They can have musical instruments because of the royalties from that
too. Wow.
In his ward or something. Okay, so you're trying to make a cool war. That's a badass groove. You are right.
Thanks.
Yeah, totally.
Tried.
And then Comet Gain after that, we're all fucking morons, which is kind of what I see when I'm seeing all these people hanging out at the park and the beach and people, we got a virus.
yeah.
Just hunker down for a little bit and keep it from spreading.
Hey, you know what an amazing thing that I heard the other day? My wife, Peg, is really brilliant, and she said she listens to all these scientists all the time. She said, if everyone would be still for 2 weeks, this would be over in 2 weeks.
I believe that. Or a huge fucking dent in it. Then we have Orthodox from Spain with Countess Bathory. And Human Grey after that. That's Tom Herman. He, Per Ubu guitar man. He just made a solo record. And, oh, my goodness. Psycho. I think... these guys were from the early 70s. They ended up doing only one gig, but they made an album, The Maze here. Same title, Minuteman, they had a song called Schizo Fuel out of Amarillo, which is up that, there's an interstate with Lubbock, right? The Reaper, V Vale with Corona, V Vale. Actually, Blue Cheer had 5 members or 6 members. People don't remember that. Lucy Leave out of Oxford, England, Thumbs, and finally Thorn Friends with The Other Last Straw. So tell me about some of your early bands in like junior high and high school.
Well, in junior high, I was real obsessed with Rush. If you were a drummer, in 1978, you were into Neil Peart. So. I was in a band that was kind of proggy that wanted to be Rush when I was in probably 8th grade. I still really loved all the funk and soul stuff that was on what we back then called crossover radio. You would hear it on AM and FM.
Yeah.
And Motown and Stax were huge crossover players. So I was still really into that stuff, but the band that I played in was kind of like a Rush wannabe rock band. And then I went to college. I went to art school, and that was thoroughly boring. And so I started playing in bands and dropped out of art school. And that was when I was about 20. In Austin, and formed a that was at the time when funk and punk were sort of crashing into each other.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In like the mid 80s, and I was in a band called Stick People in Austin with this tall black albino singer. And
Big Boys were kind of funky.
Yeah, Big Boys. I'm friends with Tim Kerr and Biscuit. Biscuit, we've lost Biscuit a few years back, but Tim Kerr is still around and doing awesome things.
And then he had something called Bad Mother Goose that was kind of funky too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, Bad Mother Goose, exactly.
And so what happened with Stickman?
Stick People broke up after about 4 or 5 years. Of playing.
Tell me what the first gig was like.
Oh man, it must have been in some uncomfortable bar in Austin. Back then, we would do these like access TV gigs where we would play on TV and get filmed. I think our first gig was one of those.
Cable Access,
Yeah, and then our they would have music shows, cable access music shows. And some of those are just amazing. Like if you can find old footage of those shows.
There's a Minute Man one from downtown L.A. They were. Because the cable companies, because they were going to have a monopoly on the, so they had to provide, it was one of the incentives to give them a monopoly to provide public access.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that went away.
Yeah. Yeah, so then we just played like a, you know, 4 years worth of mostly humiliating gigs in Austin, between Austin and New York. We developed a little bit of a following in New York. We were and we sort of had some industry buzz, but then we broke up, of course.
Did you record before you broke up?
We did. There is recorded stuff, and it's good. I've listened back to it, and it's I'm still proud of it.
Now, was that your first recording and your first gig with Stick Man?
Yes, Stick People, yeah.
Stick People, I'm sorry. Stick People.
There was another band called Stick Men with
Ray.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking of. I'm sorry. Stick People. I thought, man, if you can later flow me some of that stuff, I'd love to play on the show. So,
okay.
So after a few years, you broke up, and then where'd your music path take you?
I moved away from Austin just for a little while, moved to San Francisco. I sort of lost my mind. That's another long story. And then I moved back and to Austin, and just started playing with whoever. And I was playing with one of the guys from Stick People and this woman, Lisa Germano, not to be confused with Lisa Gerard, but they were both 4AD artists. I started playing with her, and this was in the kind of early-ish 90s, maybe 93 or something.
Yeah.
And we toured some, again, mostly fairly humiliating gigs, but she was really, really brilliant and talented. And then I wrote a letter to Michael from the Swans and met him in, I guess, 96. I met the Swans on their farewell tour. They came through Austin. But the band was just breaking up. Swans was ending then. So I started playing with Angels of Light, which was Michael's band after broke up Swans.
Yeah.
And we made a really beautiful record called New Mother. Larry Mullins, our friend, is on that too.
Yeah.
And we did some touring, but there, like, it was like mostly pretty sparsely attended because we weren't called Swans anymore. We were called Angels of Light. And so, you know, when you change your name,
the branding.
Yeah, the branding is you lose all that branding.
I think they would say, because, you know, they come up with clinical talk like military, you know. You don't bomb people, you deliver ordnance. So like, traction. The brand lost traction.
So then so by then my life was, like, I was playing kind of with a lot of different people. I joined like these two younger brilliant songwriters in this band Shearwater, and we kind of toured a lot. And what I started to feel at that point is that I had practiced drums a lot, but what I really felt about drums was that really fancy drumming was really boring. You know, rarely did I or anybody else want to listen to that. You know, simple was so much better. And
Tommy Ramone.
Yeah. So I started to take like I got a clarinet and a trumpet, and I started to take, like, I would take one lesson from a teacher in town,
yeah.
and then I would take the instrument with me,
yeah.
so that, this was before the internet, so that when I was, like, sitting around, you know, like, by the dumpster out in the back by, you know, of the club,
yeah.
I would have something to do. I would read a lot, I read more books than I read throughout my entire education, but I would sit with an instrument that I didn't know how to play and learn it. So then that kind of, you know, I mean, that changed my approach, like and I still do that. Like, I still pick up instruments that I don't know how to play and see if I can get anywhere on them. And it just enriches and changes my feeling about music. Every time.
It's great technique. Hey,
and Thor, by then, I was.
I got to hold you, Thor, because we're at the end of the first hour. March 30, 2020 edition of Bob Pedro Show. Special guest Thor Harris. Hold tight for hour two. March 30, 2020. It's the second hour of the Lot from Pedro Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
for okay. Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Thor and Friends. I told you they were lying. And then Bill's Pump out of Leeds with The Rise and Fall of the Alpha Male. Lorne, Guardian 2. Trotsky Ice Pick, first record from them in 20 years. Fire Season. Andre Vita out of Berlin with Let's Do This. Jerkogram Quintet with an untitled piece. And finally, Room 40 Dub, Thor Harris. Okay, so you're talking about this thing about your drumming getting influenced, but you trying out other instruments, just getting a little start on it, and then finding it on your own.
Yeah, then I got hanging out with Michael Girard from Swans. We both really loved all these mid-20th century minimalists, like Steve Reich, Moondog, Terry Riley, John Cage, of course. And
James Tenney.
Yeah.
Lamont Young.
Yeah, Lamont Young. I got super into that stuff, and so I started wanting. That's what the band Thor and Friends is based on. All the mid 20th century minimalists. And I don't play drums in it. There aren't usually drums in it.
And do you think maybe too much cliche and rock and roll, or the people twist up rock and roll and kind of chased you away?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I know that new life could happen in rock and roll, but just right now, like when you're hearing it in car commercials and stuff,
yeah.
I sort of feel like where, you know, like,
it's a shift.
Yeah, I do overdubs for people, and sometimes that entails drum kit, but I'm not playing drum set in a band right now. I still love to play drum set, but yeah, I've gotten a bit away from rock and roll.
How long did you serve with the Swans?
Well, we made a comeback record in 2010, and I toured with them until about 2016. And then I quit, not knowing what I was going to do, but I knew that I needed at least a break from that. And so I started a band with a bunch of women that's called Thor and Friends, and it's like all this real pretty, soft music. It's not, you know, I don't know if soft is the right description, but it's like Steve Reich or, you know, it's repetitive. It's not loud. And that's what I've been doing for the last couple of years until this Joyful Noise thing came along. And that...
Six albums in 1 year.
Yeah.
You're Bob Pollard.
You know, it was like the playing part wasn't that hard. It was like coordinating all the emails and like just having that many plates spinning and up in the air was... dizzying.
I want to play As Above, So Below, okay?
Oh, much space do you need that you have to kill small creatures, almost like it's your divine right, to eliminate what threatens your profit? Did you ever stop to think that moderation is important in everything? You just have to let some of it go. The world could be destroyed by greed. You can't see the natural process in everything. Even those small creatures have a space. And when you engage my services, you seem to think that I owe you. But by your tips, I make my living. You just have to keep your wallet fat, so you criticize or just plain cut me. The waitress works hard in a restaurant. She does so much more than serve food. There's a whole operation for your atmosphere, the pleasant time you take for granted. Just where the hell do you get off not tipping? Their wages are low for a reason, to get you really cheap food. One thinks you would appreciate that, but you just take it for free and sit there wondering why the world doesn't revolve around you. Well, let me tell you, my friend, we deserve a little space, too.
Watch for Pedro show. As above, so below. Thorn Friends. Joe Brewer, cousin of Jack Brewer, for those not willing to share. Craig Bell, bassman from Rocket from the Tombs. 2101, he's got a brand new album. Bahan Boy, Magico, and this is AJ, Amsterdam. Mario DeSandro, who just moved here. SoCal, Break Free. And finally, Thor Harris with Ass Tiger. Okay, so when it's something like this, just Thor Harris without N Friends.
Yeah.
So what, is that Man Alone?
Well, no, Ass Tiger was done with a that's on one of the six records is a dub record because I really love dub.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, you know, you sort of know what DJ Screw did to hip hop. I thought a similar thing could be done to dub, just sort of deconstructed, slowed down. And I have this drum machine where if you write a drum part at a certain speed and then you slow it down, it pixelates the sounds. So it sounds really just busted and like an acid trip.
Yeah.
And my friend had a slightly out of tune piano, which was perfect. So it's an entire dub record, but it's just sort of busted, real busted sounding dub. And we're gonna make a second one. And I just like nowadays an amazing thing that maybe not all your listeners know is. Every musician has a little thing sitting by his laptop. It's an interface. They cost about $120. And so we all can record at home now. We can do multi-tracking.
Yeah.
So it's so fun just to send tracks around to different people. And I'm not at all a control freak, although I have played with many control freaks. But I send tracks to people and I give no instruction and just take whatever they send back to me. And most of these six records were done in that spirit. Like As Above, So Below, I sent that track to Jen Wozner. She plays in Y Oak and Flock of Dimes and Bon Iver. And I didn't know what she would do, but amazing what she sent back.
Yeah, I mean, music is a righteous fabric to connect humans without
sure
somebody having to have somebody's boot on somebody else's throat. Look, we're out on the end of hour two, March 30, 2020. This is Watt Pedro Show, special guest Thor Harris. Hold tight for hour three. March 30, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
smell the truck, ease the pain, ride the train. Feel the warmth, touch the pain, drive it home, lose the pain, by the night, ride and fight. Feel the touch, smell the drug, ease the pain, ride the train. Feel the warmth, touch the pain, drive it home, lose the pain, ride the night, ride the fire. Hey, you're grinning, your head is feeling spinning, yeah, I think you're insane. Spinning, spinning, yeah, I think you're insane.
so itchy.
Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show started off third hour with Thor and Friends doing Mystery Train. And people, he's going to enlighten you who's on that track with him.
Lo is on that track. Alan and Mimi.
Sure.
Now, also, this amazing singer, Jolie Holland. If y'all don't know her stuff, she's just got this amazing, strange voice.
Yeah.
Jolie Holland. She's from California, like Mike Watt.
Okay. Well, not original. I came here when I was 9. I was from Virginia.
Oh.
My pop was a sailor, and it's closer to Vietnam here. It was 1968.
Yeah.
Okay, then we had San Ardo with Heroin Train. Crane, he's from the hill up here, Palo Verde. He's in Idaho now. You're the pimp. Here for you. And finally, Thorn Friends with Dies in Paris. So, Thorn Friends, you're trading files. So there wasn't really one main studio, right?
No, those two, we did, the first two Thorn Friends records were made with Jeremy Barnes, who's the drummer from Neutral Milk Hotel.
Yeah,
but
sure.
He's also half of this amazing band called A Hawk and a Hacksaw.
Yeah, the last tour I did in the fall, I conked out his pad in the last week of the tour.
Excellent. Such a sweetheart.
They've been on the show. They're a great, great band.
Yeah, they're great. And he produced and played a lot on the first two Thorn Friends records, and he produced the third one and played some on it. But the third one is really like Jeremy's brainchild. And Heather, of course, Heather plays on those too. Heather Trost.
Sure. That's the other half of the band, Heather. Yeah.
Yeah, other half of Hawk and a Hacksaw. So those guys have been huge in the formation of Thorn Friends. It's really just me and my gal Peggy Gorbani.
Yeah.
And a really brilliant lady. I call her Goat, but some call her Sarah Gautier.
Okay. I want to play Lowly D.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show, last music of this edition, Lowly D from Thor and Friends. Mega Doubt with Pandemic Number 1. And finally, Fallen, Thor and Friends. That's a big whaler.
Oh, yeah.
Fallen is great. Fallen. I love it. I love it. So, first, you got to tell people where they can find you on the internet.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? There's a lot of different places. Joyful Noise is selling a whole bunch of our different things now, Joyful Noise recordings. But we're also on Bandcamp, and I love Bandcamp.
Sure. Is there a Thor Harris website?
There is a Thor Harris website, but I think better is just to go to thorharris.bandcamp.com.
Oh, sure. But you probably have links, right? You probably have links to the Bandcamp site from your Thor Harris site, right?
Yes, the Thor Harris site is thorharris.org.
Okay. thorharris.org,
exactly.
People.
Yeah.
And now, what's your next plans, Thor?
You know what? Honestly, I think that touring is canceled. We were supposed to go to Australia and Tasmania, but I think touring is going to be off for the rest of the year.
I
play in this band called No Place Trio with a couple of guys that live in Berlin, but I don't think it's going to happen. That was supposed to happen in August, but we'll just see. You know, I think that I'm just going to continue to socially distance by sending files all over the world.
Yeah, it's great.
So far, it's going great. I would like to get Mike Watt to play on the next Doom Dub record.
Fuck, you got it. There's a lot of bass.
Yeah. it's so fun for a bass player.
Let me run this idea, Pash Thor. Live streaming.
I love that idea, but how do you do it? Would you use...
Me and my Oregon man, Pizzo, are trying to set up our studio. Because you got the good sound. See, what I hate about the YouTube.com, you know, people filming the gig, and it sounds like shit over the leash, you know? So if you're doing it from a studio that's set up with some cameras, maybe you get the good sound and some visual.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Don't people use Zoom to do that? And you can... I think those six cello players that just put out a concert like 3 days ago, I think they used.
Yeah, it's more of conferencing. I'm thinking more of a one-way thing where you just, it's like a virtual gig on the internet.
Yeah.
I saw Chris Brokaw, who used to play with.
Oh, yeah.
I met him. Talia Zadik in Come, right? He did this thing where he just played guitar and sang for people.
Wow. Yeah, maybe solo shows live streaming are going to be where it's at. I'm a little bit of a Luddite with some technologies, not all. I'm getting pretty good at digital recording, but if we're going to play shows, they're not going to be in crowded, sweaty rooms anymore.
No. You know, I'll tell you a weird fucking thing. I'm not saying I got any kind of ESP or premonition, but the last tour in the fall I did, I wouldn't shake people's hands. I only gave them elbow or maybe a knuckle. And I didn't get sick. 45 gigs in a row, never got sick.
Man, one time, and speaking of infectious diseases, one time I went to a Scratch Acid show in Austin.
David Yow.
And it was like one of the sweatiest, most glorious, wonderful mosh pits that I was ever in my life. And I was in it a lot, but this one was just like everybody was picking each other up when they would fall down, and it was just like such a love fest. I got like the worst virus from that. Now it's like, well, maybe there is something to this germ theory.
Yeah, I got to play with David Yow with the two guys from Flipper, Steve and
Ted. David Yow is on the Doom Dub record.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he's on that song "Fly on the Wall." It's a Jesus Lizard song that we reconfigured as a sort of like film noir spoken piece.
What we started the show off with today. Okay, you know David's really into acting. He told me he's kind of finished with music. He wants to be an actor.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a trip. So you say your next plans because of the situation? It's hunker down. Let's compose. Let's record and trade files. This kind of thing, right? I think that's
good. Yeah, that's as far as I've gotten.
And who these days is inspiring you.
You know what? I got into this band Wakti, U-A-K-T-I, and I think it's pronounced Wakichi, and they're from Brazil. They're super inspiring to me. The Nex. Do you know the band The Nex from Australia?
Australia, right, right.
Yeah, I love The Nex. They're doing things right now that I think are just so glorious with just, you know, the simplest of instruments, and they do it. It's mesmerizing to watch live.
Yeah, well, you know, they're like skateboarders, you know, they take chances.
Yeah, they sure do. Yeah.
Thor, it's been a big honor to have you on the show. I want you to keep on keeping on, and I would love to be part of your dub proj.
Awesome.
Just, you know, flow me the things, and I'll flow back.
Awesome.
But people, check out ThorHarris.org and what he's got going on. 6 albums, 1 year, maybe next year's 8 albums. Watch out, Bob Pollard. Okay, Thor, beautiful. People, it's been the March 30, 2020 edition of Watt for Peebo Show. Keep your powder dry.